A suspected bird strike diverts a continental flight. Virgin Galactic has a contract to take researchers to space. And economics grounds another police chopper. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, March 2, 2010. Continental Flight 1559 was scheduled to fly from Washington's Reagan National Airport to Houston Monday morning, but didn't get very far. The plane was diverted to nearby Dulles Airport in Northern Virginia after apparently ingesting a bird into one of its engines. The 737 landed safely with 44 passengers on board, according to an AP report in USA Today. The D.C. Fire Department reports it got several calls about an airplane, which seemed to be having engine problems, flying outside the normal flight corridors around Reagan National. NBAA President Ed Bolin reprised familiar themes Monday in telling the Aero Club of Washington's Policy Forum what it will take to ensure the continued success of the aviation industry in the U.S. Quote, "In America, the 21st century will also be defined by transportation, and the key mode will be aviation. We are trading and competing in a global marketplace, and aviation remains the fastest and safest way for people around the world to connect with one another," unquote. Bolin also noted it's been a long time since the U.S. opened up a new airport, and that in contrast, the Chinese had opened up more than 10 airports each year over the past decade. He emphasized FAA reauthorization, supporting the General Fund for Aviation, and a collaboration between government and industry on next-gen ATC as among the keys to moving forward. Virgin Galactic reports that more than 400 individuals have put down deposits for suborbital flights on its Spaceship Two, which is currently in flight testing. Now, the company reports landing a contract with the Southwest Research Institute to fly scientists into suborbital space for microgravity, biology, climate, and astronomy research. The institute has made full deposits for two researchers to fly, with the intent to make similar arrangements for an additional six, for a total value of $1.6 million. The San Jose, California Police Department has idled its helicopter in an effort to save $1.4 million a year in expenses. The grounding may not be permanent. Flights have been suspended for at least 3 months, however, in an effort to determine the savings. The department flies an average of three missions per day, and the cost of the aircraft is made up mostly of pilot salaries and maintenance. The San Jose Mercury News reports that there is still a fixed-wing airplane in use by the department on an as-needed basis. The department's four pilots have reportedly been reassigned to patrol duties. Up next on ANN, Bob Miller flight training has gone online. Jet-style maintenance tracking comes to the piston fleet. And London Oxford Airport just got much more capable. You're listening to Aero News.
Now, another moment of freedom from Cirrus Aircraft. Freedom through safety. Perhaps the ultimate freedom is confidence, assurance, and peace of mind. We design it into every personal aircraft we build. It's the security that comes with knowing you're flying the plane with a parachute. The breakthrough concept that launched the Cirrus phenomenon.
Piperjet.
Pipermatch.
Global expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/Piper Aircraft.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for March 2nd. I'm Paul Plack. Those of you who listen regularly to the Aero News special feature are familiar with Bob Miller, the CFI based in the Buffalo, New York area, who publishes the monthly e-newsletter Over the Airwaves. Bob's been pretty direct in his criticism of traditional pilot training and the priorities of our alphabet groups, and to his credit, has tried to bring not just problems, but solutions. He opened Bob Miller Flight Training a couple years ago, and has since taken it Part 141 in an effort to demonstrate the validity of his positions. Now, Bob has launched Bob Miller Flight Training online, with the goal of opening his training to participants anywhere using webinar technology. Having completed refresher courses for private and instrument pilots, both running 8 weeks, Bob has two new courses starting in the next few days. One runs 4 weeks on Tuesday nights from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time, starting March 13th, and will look for specific lessons in NTSB fatal accident reports. The other will be a refresher course for private pilots over 8 weeks, Thursday nights starting March 15th. Find more details online at bobmillerflighttraining-online.com. You can listen to my interview with Bob on what it took to translate his classroom techniques and materials to a webinar platform in the archives of the AeroNews special feature for February 22nd. If it's true that aircraft records make up 25% of the value of a plane at resale, this new product could be a no-brainer for some. Fleet Aviation says it has become the first provider of a computerized maintenance tracking program specifically for piston aircraft, with benefits similar to programs previously available only for jets and turboprops. The company points out that missing data affects resale value, can impact insurance rates, and can lead to questions regarding the safety of the aircraft. Now, owners who join Fleet's program will have all their aircraft records centrally organized, with easy remote access, replacing paper maintenance tracking. There's a new airport option in the London area for business jets and larger planes. London Oxford Airport reports the UK Civil Aviation Authority has approved increasing the licensed length of its runway by 896 feet, or 21%, to over 5,100. This follows a project to strengthen the surface and remove obstacles at the sides and ends, including several hundred trees. James Dillon Godfrey, Business Development Director for the airport, says this will all make a substantial difference for the evolution of the airport. Quote, "Many business jet and regional airliner types can now carry more passengers or achieve significant gains in range from the airport. Outbound transatlantic charters are now possible on certain types, opening up the North American market for us for the first time. On the airline side, we can now court the furthest parts of the European market," unquote. Beginning in June, London Oxford Airport will commence regular charters from Oxford to Palma, Mallorca. Still ahead, Embraer picked up BizJet market share last year. Brazil's TAM Airlines will spend money with Boeing and Airbus. And TSA employees find themselves on a no-eat list. You're listening to AeroNews.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, March 2nd. I'm Paul Platt. According to data from Gamma, Embraer showed the most growth in the executive aviation market during 2010. The company delivered 145 executive jets. That's an increase of 23 over 2009, which was the highest in absolute terms among all manufacturers. Embraer's 2010 market share reached 19%, or almost one in every five executive jets delivered worldwide. Analysts say Embraer also has a bright future in single-aisle airliners, but getting there may take a while. Brazil's TAM Airlines is expanding its fleet, but it's buying planes not manufactured domestically by Embraer, but from Boeing and Airbus. A memo of understanding recently signed calls for the purchase by TAM of 32 Airbus A320s, 22 of which will be the Neo configuration with wing sharklets. The airline has also ordered two Boeing 777-300ERs. The order makes TAM the launch customer for the A320neo in Latin America. Engine selection will be announced by the airline at a later date. If privacy advocates don't like pat-downs and full body scans, oh man, they're going to hate this. TSA is fighting an internet rumor that it's experimenting with technology which could allow collecting and processing DNA at airport checkpoints. On its own blog, TSA explains, quote, "An article was posted to the Daily with a misleading headline, Genetic Pat-Down. Even more misleading, the first sentence leads off with mention of airport scanners. So obviously, even though the rest of the article says nothing about airports or TSA, some readers naturally assumed this was a new technology that would be heading to the airports, and the tweets went wild. It didn't help that TSA scanner was included in the URL," unquote. If that doesn't sound exactly like a denial of the story, the post continues, quote, "The DHS Science and Technology Directorate expects to receive a prototype DNA analyzer device this summer to conduct a preliminary evaluation of whether this kind of technology could be considered for future use. At this time, there are no DHS customers, nor is there a timeline for deployment for this kind of technology. This is simply a preliminary test of how the technology performs. Again, TSA is not testing and has no plans to use any technology capable of testing DNA, unquote. You may want to parse that carefully. You can read the TSA's post in the official blog, http://blog.tsa.gov. And finally today, in most places, restaurants are allowed a flexibility other types of businesses are not. You may have seen the signs informing the public that a restaurant may refuse service to anyone at any time for any reason. Well, now a restaurant near Seattle-Tacoma International Airport is using that right to make a point to the Transportation Security Administration. A blog called The Raw Story reports the restaurant's owner became so upset over the treatment of his customers at checkpoints that he decided to create a no-eat list, which specifically prohibits TSA employees from eating at his restaurant. Restaurant employee K.C. McLaughlin says the policy will stand until screeners, quote, start treating us with the respect and dignity we deserve, unquote. Hey, I have an idea. Let them in, but give them a choice. Either they must submit to a revealing nude scan on the big screen over the bar, or the other customers get to frisk them before they're seated. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, with air show season on the doorstep, we'll take a look at the job of air boss with one of the best, Ralph Royce. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.